Everyone, guess what? You're listening to Comedy Film Nerds, episode 425. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini, and this is our Eve of Comic-Con episode.
It's Comic-Con Eve, yes. It's a glorious week where we go nerd.
All the nerds
out.
Are tucked in their beds. waiting for Hall H dancing on their heads.
yes, they've written a list for nerd claws for Santa nerds to show up.
Hoping to get a collectible that no one else has.
Yeah. Getting their cosplay outfits all ready. It's going to be exciting.
So we have a lot to talk about today.
We have a lot of movies to talk about. What are we going to talk about today?
We're going to be talking about Skyscraper. We're going to be talking about Won't You Be My Neighbor. We've got our Patreon sponsors. A lot of DVD Blu-ray movies this week. You know, and it's this episode has extra rock in it.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. As long as there's extra The Rock.
He's in
it.
Multiple sections.
Good.
Today.
Good. Rock it up.
Yep. So, we do want to mention off the top that, like we said, this is the pre-Comic-Con episode. We will be doing Rick Meyer's Superhero Kung Fu Extravaganza this Thursday at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope to see you there.
Yeah, come down for that, guys. That's always a cool... Always fun. Rick finds trailers of martial art movies that we didn't know about that were made in all different parts of Asia that are coming over here eventually, or maybe just available on DVD or VOD or something like that. So it's really cool. And
he throws in some surprises like Kung Fu Yoga.
That was fantastic. Still standing out.
Yes.
There's always like all awesome fight sequences, and then he just finds some hilarious stuff.
Right.
Also, we will be doing Comedy Film Nerds Trailer Park. This is our live show.
Yes.
At Dynasty Typewriter, and I think they just emailed. They were going to be doing it, I believe, Saturday.
Sunday.
It was going to be Sunday, but they just emailed me.
Oh.
So they're changing it to Saturday, August 25th.
Nice.
8 o'clock show. So we'll do what we've done at PodFest in the past. We'll have like 6 or 7 trailers, a couple comics on us. We'll show some cool trailers and make some, you know, have some shitty ones that we'll make fun of. So I think it's $10 in advance, $15 at the door. We'll put that up on our website very soon. It'll be on my website as well.
Excellent.
So let's introduce our guest.
Let's do it. Yeah, first time guest.
We've both known this gentleman for a very long
time.
Many years.
I did stand up with him way back in the day in Philadelphia before we both left the town.
I'll tell you how self-obsessed I am. I actually thought in your intro it was for me that you were saying we have a little extra rock on the show.
Yeah.
I'm going, oh, I've never heard me referred to as a little extra rock, a little extra pop.
Yeah, Craig the Rock Shoemaker.
He's rocking it here.
Yeah.
Bringing the thunder, the hard chiseled Craig Shoemaker, everybody.
Well, I knew you had a big lineup today, and I thought that was it. I thought you were, you know, things come in threes. You mentioned, you know, a couple movies and this and that, and we have extra rock on the show. Let's get to our headliner here.
Yeah.
Craig
but
is.
But I'm following Kung Fu here, but that's okay.
Yes.
Yeah, you got my name right.
Yes.
People do Schumacher. It drives me nuts.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. They look at my name. They go, hello, Mr. Schumacher. I've had people say, I'm a big fan of Craig Schumacher. You make shoes. You don't mock shoes, except for Crocs. You can mock those all you want.
Yes.
You know what the holes are for? So your self-esteem can slip out. I wear them, though. So I don't care anymore.
You can blame Joel Schumacher for that.
That's exactly what they tell me. They run with that. Like, they're good buddies with Joel Schumacher.
Yeah.
He spelled it.
Spelled completely differently.
Spelled completely differently.
I know. It's a Macher. Macher.
It's C-H. You know,
I don't have an umlaut. I'm out off the boat from Bavaria. It's the shoe.
You didn't ruin Batman.
No.
Very true.
Yeah. nor my race car driver.
Yeah.
Craig's little shoemaker.
Also, you were on an episode of the FNX Comedy Experience, which is very cool.
I got to see that one live. Very fun. Yeah, really a good episode.
Chris was at the taping out in beautiful.
Could have used some more people, but Graham did a great job of making it seem like there were lots of people there.
That is
he used shots from like Gabriel Iglesias. let's bring some Fluffy show in here and pretend that Shoemaker is rocking the crowd like that.
Yeah, they're like, Fluffy's coming. I go, can I just have a couple cameras shoot your audience? Yeah. I just need 10 seconds of footage.
Shoemaker's really drawing a Latino crowd.
Yeah. It doesn't matter that it's outside. We'll make it match in post.
I don't care. I will make this look huge. It really looks
did. It looked great.
Thank you. That's the magic of show business, the magic of post-production. The other thing that you have been working on that we're going to be shooting this week in San Diego. Yeah. So tell everybody about Laughter Heals and the documentary that we're doing.
I was doing another film. I don't know if you've ever reviewed the Love Master movie, but
we have not.
Nor seen it, nor even knew about it before. Wasn't in your rocking bio.
Yeah.
Is that starring Craig Schumacher?
The Love Maker.
Yeah.
The Love Mocker.
The Love Mocker. So
directed by Joel Shoemaker?
It was actually directed by who has to do with the story, Michael Goldberg, who wrote Cold Runnings, Little Giants, very good friend of mine. We all know how we bond through comedy and laughter, right? That's the biggest bond you could have. My oldest friends, that's what we do, is we laugh together, and he's included in that. So we did the movie, and we're in Arizona. And the other thing that I found out through laughter is people have come up to me after shows and give me credit for the birth of their children. Because they conceive the child after my show. Every guy tries to be the love master. And it loosens them up. And they couldn't have children, and now they do. So someone sent me a photo of a kid conceived in the parking lot of the Bray Improv. I kid you not. With this funny look on her face. Because she was conceived in laughter. So we're filming the movie.
What greater tribute?
Exactly. I've had a lot of people come up, but I think they're just saying, hey, great show. But they go, no, really. We could not have a child, and then thanks to you. And so I ran with it, and I said, his wife was ovulating. We're in Arizona filming the movie. Mm-hmm. And I said, do the Love Master. I'll leave. I'll go get sandwiches. I'm about to watch the Eagles playoff game. And I said, I'll go get sandwiches, and you do your thing as the Love Master. And baby Kayla was conceived and born 9 months later from this loosening up, I guess, that took place. But then a year and a half after that, he got brain cancer, and they said, you have 3 months to live. And that was the moment, you know, my ha-ha moment where I said, you know what, this is much more about something else other than my ego or, you know, getting laughs or doing comedy and jokes and things like that. This is really about something we can begin a movement here because and raise the awareness of the power of laughter. I don't think we give enough credit. I know comics don't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I started as Laughter Heals, and Golds showed up at every one of our, you know, I do these Laugh for Life therapy sessions. We help wounded warriors at cancer facilities, do guided laughidation, laughformations, and so on. We developed this through the years. He showed up at all of them, all the comedy shows he could. He lived 15 years past that prognosis.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Wow. With brain cancer. I made him laugh on his deathbed, even. I visited him in hospice, and he's sitting there, and I said, geez, Golds, I don't know what else to do. You're helpless. You're not moving, and he was in a coma. He didn't. I said, I don't even know if you know it's me. I said, what can I do for you? I said, you want me to jerk you off? And I said, I've never done anybody but my own, but I'm really good with my own. I said, you want me to give you a little toss off? And I mimed it, and he came out of a coma, and he goes, ah! He laughed one more time.
Wow.
And then he died. We actually filmed it for the movie, and he died a few days later, but he went out laughing, and what a way to go. And his daughter got to know him. We did a big celebration. We had a funeral, not a funeral, and we ripped on him. We roasted him. The poor guy's dead. But his daughter went up and saw not a dry eye in the house. She said, now I know my dad because I only knew him as a sick guy. We all knew him as Gold, who was so funny. And he would even laugh at the cancer. We were in Philadelphia one time watching a game. And he stands up and he has a seizure standing up. He's shaking. And of course, Philadelphia, the guys behind him going, down in front. Down in front. And we're trying to whisper to the guy, he's having a seizure. Just let him go. He has cancer. I don't care about the cancer. I can't see through him. And we laughed about it. You know, the guy's heckling a guy with cancer.
Those are Philly fans.
That's Philly for you.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, only place where if they heckle you, they vomit on you. There was a guy that vomited on someone. Put his finger in his throat to vomit on the guy in front of him.
Wow.
That's heckling.
Yeah, and that's also a commitment. Like, you know, I'm going to make this stick.
You're never going to forget this.
Yeah, yeah. Literally. I could call you an asshole, but you're going to remember this.
An asshole you might forget.
Yeah.
That's old. That's hack.
Anyone could do that. So,
that's hack stuff. Wait, I'm going to come up with a new heckle here.
So Laughter
Heels. Andy Kaufman of hecklers.
So Laughter Heels is the name of the organization that you founded?
Exactly. And, years ago. We're now nonprofit. I just finished 5 months working in a drug and alcohol rehab, helping them find some levity and light in their process and their healing process. And we need it now in this country more than ever. That's for damn sure. Because it's the one neutral thing. It doesn't have a political party. Laughter. I'm not talking about comedy.
Right.
Comedy's subjective. Laughter is not. It's an energy. It's a space that you're creating. And that's what we do. We shift people's consciousness into this other way of being and start to look at laughter as a medicine. They say it's the best medicine, but we sort of like discount that.
We think that's just a cliche, not an actual scientific fact.
Yes, exactly right. It's a scientific fact. It's talked about in every biblical, you know, in the Bible and the Torah. I mean, it's everywhere, but we just ignore it. It's the part that we ignore. We're more focused on our anger and our rage and how to deal with that. We don't know that the solution's right there. I mean, it's a hell of a copay and pay a cover charge at a comedy club and there you go. It's great healthcare. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to move people in this direction of raising that awareness, and hence we have your answers for you. It's not like we're going to cure you of cancer, but it certainly will help you along the way. In any healing process, it helps. So we're doing this documentary. We'll take 7 patients with various illnesses and follow their process, adding laughter and joy and levity to their process. One of the things I also tell them is get off the news. Don't watch the news. The whole job of the news is to get you upset. And a drug company sponsors the news and the anxiety they just gave you.
The whole point of the news is to evoke a negative emotion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that it's a formula. Mm-hmm. It's a system. It's a formula. It's all sponsored. They own all the money. You don't see the Chuckle Hut sponsoring the news programs. You know what I mean? They might do a 20-second.
That'd be good counter-programming, though.
Exactly. I always say that they should put a joke across the screen, you know, instead of like those things, you know, the it's always like turbulence, ticker, terrorism, and all that, alerts and everything. They should hooker walks into a hardware store. Right. Yeah. Hey, look at that. I want to follow that.
Yeah.
And wouldn't that be interesting? And they're so focused because they own all the money and they own the system that we work under. Mm-hmm. They're so focused on that. The FCC is on top of us. That's why we're podcasting. And radio, we'd be thrown off if we talked about. If I said something about an erection on the Tonight Show, they would say, no, you have to cut that out.
Right.
In the meantime, they're sponsored by, if you can't get an erection, Viagra, then it's okay.
Yeah.
Then it's okay. If you're talking about your erection in a good way, no good. Mm-hmm. So if there's money behind it, the Levitra, Cialis, Viagra, and the side effects of that, how about that? Anal leakage. I don't want that. There's my night of good sex anyway. You know? I mean, so it doesn't make any sense. And they show, if they're worried about the kids with our language, it's all subjective anyway. It's language. What's that? Mm-hmm. But I say, F-bomb's going to be worse than watching a bombing or a schoolyard shooting. Sure. Mm-hmm. These kids are desensitized. They're learning how to be violent. We're teaching them how to laugh.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a spiritual thing. One of the goals I also have is I find that the comics are very cynical. Comedians are very cynical. They come from the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very, you know, the analytical, critical.
We're always poking holes in everything.
Exactly.
And what's the point of this and that?
And a lot of atheists and agnostics and things like that. What I say to people, I had Todd Glass was on my podcast. I said, you're probably more spiritual than anyone I know because you tell the truth. If truth is your God, that's your truth. And then the spiritual people, they think you need to sit on a rock in Sedona to get enlightenment. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to do is build a bridge from the woo-woo to the ha-ha. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to come together on this. Is we are living this existence that is happiness and joy if you choose it. But a lot of people don't. So that's kind of, these are some of the things we're trying to
And we're getting some interviews down in San Diego this week, which is cool. This Dr. Eisenberg that does it. So it's
your schedule's
really
pretty booked up for Comic-Con.
We just got Deepak Chopra confirmed, which is really great. And
he's going to be in San Diego?
He lives
down there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's going to be in the film, People from the Secret, like Michael Beckwith, Eric Griffin on the way here.
I thought maybe he was going to be on Gotham, like an episode.
Deepak has got a booth set up at Comic-Con. Yeah. He's selling his figurines.
Great. Hey, as long as it's got a Rick and Morty theme, he'll sell them.
Selling is creating affluence figurines.
By the way, the showrunner of Rick and Morty, I cannot believe it. I bought the first joke he ever sold when he was like 17 years old, 16 years old. It's Mark Ridley's kid.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. His kid said, I want to be a comedian. I said, I'll buy a joke from you.
I bought
a joke from him. Now he's
into Won't You Be My Neighbor.
Absolutely.
Because it really, that film, which is about the Mr. Rogers documentary. I finally saw it. Craig, you've seen it. Talk about that movie.
Well, actually, the inspiration of the movie, too. The director, Morgan Neville, was partly inspired to create the documentary, interestingly, after asking Yo-Yo Ma about how he handled his status of being a celebrity. Ma said Fred Rogers mentored him on how fame could be used for good.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And Yo-Yo Ma is in the movie, and very funny, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a couple scenes that he's very funny. Basically, he's thought Mr. Rogers was a whack. You know, it's like
a lot of people did.
When he came really close to him, there's that one scene where he came really close.
Sits really close.
Because a lot of people regarded him, and we all did. We all thought he was a joke.
You know,
a lot of us, you know, made fun of him because, and they pointed out in the movie,
like, nobody's that nice.
You think he's a creep.
Yeah.
You know, you think he's even a pedophile.
There's some weird agenda.
Because it's so out of our realm. Again, we are bombarded with all the other messages of anger and violence and taking it out on others and all that, revenge. This guy's the exact opposite.
Right.
So it's so strange and foreign
to us. And
made
a career out of it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the other thing, too, that the documentary, first of all, it's a great documentary. It does that thing. If you grew up watching Mr. Rogers like I did, it's obviously, I thought it was amazing. But if you don't know anything about the guy, it's a great documentary in terms of it tells the story of this guy. And then the stuff he was doing, I mean, he started in 66. And, I mean, he was doing anti-war messages during the Vietnam War.
Race relations.
I mean, and he was doing it.
Just having the black mailman sit next to him in a pool. Yeah,
I cried. Seriously, I cried during that scene. It was how beautiful was that, the metaphor, and how he brought that in so simply and delicately. And he just goes, you know, can I wash your feet?
Yeah.
He washes his feet. I'm going, brilliant.
Brilliant.
It's absolutely brilliant. They did everything low tech with puppets.
Yeah.
And it opens up, by the way, that has a puppet that's arrogant and egomaniacal. He's like, I'm going to build a wall. I'm like, are you kidding me?
King Friday.
King Friday the 13th. This is back in the late 60s.
Yeah.
Talking about building a wall and the problems that created.
Yeah.
All in this, and I just, I had so many amazing emotions because part of me was like, wow, as a kid, I watched him.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
I watched this and I watched Sesame Street. And
Electric Company. Those were the three
I watched. Mm-hmm, yeah. And those shows had a profound impact on me and they didn't talk down to kids.
No.
That one show, New Zoo Review, I hated it because it was very condescending.
It was awful.
It was an awful show, and it was just like, hey, you're a little boy. Like, I hated that when I was five, you know? And so now watching this documentary as an adult, I'm like, that's why this show resonated, because there were all these serious adult themes. He just told them in a simplistic way, but he didn't condescend. You know,
I was brought up not to go for things like that. That's the thing. And I don't want to call it a regret because I've learned from it. But I was taught to fight back about things like that. You know, those were principles that were not part of my thinking at the time. So I resisted that and was cynical towards it and sarcastic. I said, this is a bunch of crap, because that's how I was taught in my household to think.
And you hated sweaters.
I did. I went through one phase.
Yeah.
one phase. I don't know how it happened. I think it was during. I also did an Indiana Jones hat phase. I did that. I'll try it at the end of the trend. I'll try it just to see how it worked. Yeah. Sweater didn't work. I did a Nehru collar thing for a little bit. I did try the trend, but he came across to me because I was taught this. I was brought up in a house with no love. Like literally my mom to this day has never said, I love you. So how are you supposed to respond to that? You respond to it the way you're taught to respond to it.
Right.
What a bunch of hooey. Love is a bunch of hooey in our house. You know, that's how it was. Or phony or fake and look at this. That's how I responded. It didn't resonate with me. It did the opposite. So I made fun of him. And that's what really made me cry of what I missed.
Oh, wow.
I missed that in my childhood. I have it now. I'm writing a book called Get Out of Line and Into Alignment. That's my life right now. It's in alignment with my soul, my spirit, my divineness. That's what I really, really resonate with. Back then, I did not because I was taught to resist that. I was taught to resist myself, my own instincts, my own spirit. So that's what this movie did was, oh, my God, it was so sad to me that I missed that on great race relations anti-war. I wanted to be a soldier. I mean, I was taught to be, I'm going to line up.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know, there was that kind of like sweetness to the show that was also parodied in pop culture at the time, too, mm-hmm. because you also you know, Eddie Murphy doing Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
That's right.
So you have all these parodies of like, yeah, look how, you know, super sweet the show is. It's ridiculous. We're going to make fun of it.
Robin Williams did mm-hmm. pieces on it. Mm-hmm. I remember that was my real exposure to Mr. Rogers was through comedians.
Well, mm-hmm. they talk about that in the movie.
Yeah, they mm-hmm. do.
And they talk about how some of them, he would be like, some of them he got a little bummed at. And for me, I was watching and I was like, you know, the Eddie Murphy one, I actually gave respect to because what Eddie Murphy did when he first came on Saturday Night Live was, hey, this is a show primarily for white people. And I'm just going to show you in my neighborhood,
yeah. it's this is not, what it looked
it's
like.
Not all trolleys and niceness, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah. so I'm in a, in the
that's
way.
That's different. Yeah.
That's different than just mocking him for being a nice guy. Right. What Eddie Murphy was doing was going, a little different where I grew up, which I actually gave respect to, and then
yeah, and so did Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he liked that, but I don't think he liked when they lampooned him just to, you know, basically call him a perv or a child,
or a weirdo or whatever.
Weirdo, you know, because then that again, that's how I was raised in that space of I'm like, this is so weird to me, and I got away from it, and I would go towards, you know, more violent and, you know, get in line with the patriarchs. That's what I was just in line with the rest of the white world that we live in.
Yeah.
And if you're out of that line, they call you names and they bully you and they beat you back into submission. That's why I'm writing this book is every time I get out of line from that, I feel great because that's my true essence mm-hmm. is being revealed.
Well, it sounds like younger you would have really liked this next movie.
Okay.
Wow, Chris. Fantastic segue.
You know what's funny is my instincts are much better now. I watched Chris's eyes looking for that segue. Yeah. I could even see in his retina the moment that it connected with his desire for a segue to get off of this topic. I think he's uncomfortable with this. Now. Yeah. Too much love in the room.
I know.
Aren't you from Philadelphia?
I got to get to The Rock.
All right. That's oh, you were going to talk about me some more.
Yeah, yeah.
Aren't you from Philadelphia?
Oh, absolutely.
Right, yeah, so you know what I'm talking about.
Exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Chris had the love beaten out of him as a child.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He had people throw batteries at him.
Yeah, I had fans throw up at me. Yeah.
I threw snowballs at Santa everybody else.
Yeah, we beat the Philly Fanatic.
Actually, Westchester Cabaret, I used to book it. You know Westchester, Pennsylvania?
Yeah, of course.
Uh-huh. And Bill McCarty was on stage. A woman vomited on his shoes.
Wow,
that was great stuff.
I used to...
Because that gives him a half an hour of new material.
I was managing the comedy night at the Sawmill Inn. Remember that one many, many years ago? Yes. I mean, we worked with Scarpatti. We worked mm-hmm. with all the same people starting out.
Sure.
You know, that was the kind of thing, like Philly was the place where you had the main comedy clubs were in town, but then you had all these little suburban Friday, Saturday rooms. And then you had these one-nighters during the week, which were always horrible.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Because
it was always
forcing comedy on people that didn't want it.
Yeah. As soon as, like, you know, they would turn the TV off, a game was on, you just hear the entire bar go, Oh.
Yeah.
And then you would bring on the comedian. And then Philly, interestingly enough, was the first city that went, you know what? We're done with comedy. They're like, when the comedy boom ended, they were the first clubs to close. Like, there was a point where...
Helium opened up, there hadn't been a full-time club there in years.
No.
Tried. Yeah.
Philly was the first one out. So
wow. Now, you didn't know this, but I started the comedy in the suburbs, and it was actually great. Mm-hmm. I brought in Eddie Murphy. I brought in all the top acts from New York. $100, $150, $200.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think Eddie was like $200 back then.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, you got them, like...
This is back in the early 80s.
King of Prussia, like all these places you
that
bring
all started
in.
Yeah. In Ambler. We started that in Ambler.
Yeah, I remember.
And then Ambler Cabaret, that was called the Tap Room back then. My friend owned it, and I said, let's do comedy.
For one night.
It was called Laugh Your Buns Off, and came up with a stupid logo with someone's ass flying off. And, and there we had a show. Yeah. But we ended up to be a lot. Paul Solari and all the – they would just take over the suburbs on these one-nighters. Then it got horrible.
Right. Right. Then it then Philly just went, I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, part of the issue is the talent got drained.
Yeah. You know one moves away.
Yeah. Exactly. So The Rock.
Yes.
So, buildings on fire.
Speaking of moving away.
Let's talk about Skyscraper. Again, same theme as Won't You Be My Neighbor, saving the world. Same exact thing. So very, very similar. And, some of the trivia here of this movie is Brad Peyton and Roland Emmerich were considered to direct this movie. It's so funny to hear, like, when a bad movie gets made, it's like all the people that were up for it. All the bad directors that were up for it. You know, the short list is a list that no one wants. So the director of the film, Rawson Marshall Thurber, had worked with The Rock on Central Intelligence, and it's his first non-comedy movie, which is fascinating to me. This movie, first of all, is not good, A.
Shocked.
Shocked. But the thing that was surprising to me about this movie is that where it went wrong, because you have... A Die Hard, essentially, remake with The Rock, with a director with a background in comedy. You think maybe it may not take itself so seriously. You would be wrong. Apparently, this comedy director decided, I don't want any comedy in this movie at all. It starts off in a dark, violent place, and it just goes from there. And I'm like, wait, isn't The Rock going to say something funny? And the answer is no.
Not one little quippy.
You don't even get The Rock's, like, witticisms or anything.
Because he's got a fake leg. You don't even, like, so I'm going to put a size 3 boot up someone's ass.
No.
Nobody gets
a fake leg in it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's got a prosthetic leg in it. Yeah.
Oh, though. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a plot twist.
Well, that's what makes it. See, it's not like Die Hard.
Right, exactly.
He's got a fake leg.
That's the one. Yeah,
I can see the pitch meeting on that one. Don't think Die Hard, because this is a whole other place. Yeah. I mean, prosthetics.
It's even to the point where they parody the poster of Die Hard. I'm like, well, really? I mean, at this point, everyone knows what you're doing. Just lean into it. It's like, what if the Fast and the Furious movies, the most successful ones were the later ones where they said, you know what? We know how ridiculous these are. We're going to lean into how ridiculous these are. We know you know how ridiculous they are, and we're going to make them even more ridiculous. That's what I thought this movie was going to be, and it completely missed the mark. It was tried to be like a more like the actual Die Hard was funnier and more fun.
Yes,
like,
the actual Die Hard. Yeah. Yeah. It has a great sense of humor.
So great character.
When he's that thing with he's in the pipe or whatever, come out to the coast, have a few laughs. Like there's a million of those.
The dude in the limousine. Yeah. Actually, he's a comic.
Yeah.
When you have a blueprint like that, how can you get it so wrong when it's right in front of you? This is how it's done properly. I'm like, all right, well, we want to do it exactly like that. I get that. You want to do it, put your own spin on it, but don't do it incorrectly. That's all you have to do is not do it wrong.
So there's no other characters that are in this, like a William Atherton playing a bozo.
Well, you've got the terrorists, obviously.
Okay.
And you've got the one Asian badass terrorist who doesn't talk but just kills a lot of people. And you've got the one terrorist with the accent that is in the high rise that, shoots a lot of people.
They all have just one name titles, like Rico.
And they have very few lines. So it's like, well, I really know nothing about, all these people. And then you've got the high rise. And then you've got the high rise that has this ball at the top with a holodeck for absolutely no reason whatsoever other than, oh, that's going to come back in a set piece later that's going to be really stupid. Oh, it's a mirror maze set piece that we've seen 1,000 times in 100 other movies. So...
like Enter the Dragon in 1973.
Yeah, yeah. So it really fascinated me about how much of a misstep this movie was. And it's rare that you see a movie with The Rock, because The Rock always elevates even crappy movies that he's in. Like,
I loved him in Jumanji. Yeah. And I hated the original Jumanji.
Yeah, yeah.
He's engaging. He's
very engaging.
He's a big budget movie action star.
Even in the movie Rampage, was based on a 32-bit video game that in the arcade. He elevated that movie. Like, oh, well, he's still fun to watch. He's funny. He's great action. He's fighting monsters. Great. But this one...
But he himself does not take himself seriously.
Yeah, too. Exactly.
He lampoons himself.
So I don't know what the notes were here or what the directing was. Is like, you know, you just need to be really serious and take this role seriously. And
I'm amazed, though, that a big star like that wouldn't pull the director aside and go, bro.
Well, it's also a guy that he worked with before on a comedy. Yeah. Right. So that's what was fascinating to me. Like, all the elements were there for this to be kind of a fun, diehard-ish type movie with The Rock. And at every point, the opportunity was missed.
Well, Craig, you bring up a great point, because he has the power.
Power, big time.
Rock has the power.
He could shut it down.
Yeah, he could go, hey.
Give me some funny lines here.
Now. Right.
Either we have some irony to this, or I'm out.
Yeah. There's no reason for me to be here.
Yeah, because I don't need the money.
Mm-mm.
And it's not going to make me any more famous.
No.
Yeah.
I don't get those decisions.
This is the kind of movie that, like, for The Rock, you're like, well, this should have been a pass. Yeah, there must have been something where the promise of the movie was so much more interesting than what the actual movie came out to be.
You know, so it could be that thing, too. They were already neck deep into shooting, and Rock was like, oh, this guy's a buddy. And it could be something.
Yeah, we had so much fun on Central Intelligence.
It's like my former marriage. It's the same thing. you know, but you go to a therapist. Yeah. Maybe he's doing a little bit of psychology. So, I don't know what the reason would be for staying with it, but he did. And they have now. Has he done promotion for the movie? You can sort of tell sometimes by the promotion if they really like it.
I haven't seen him do any of the promotion,
There's an indication right there.
Yeah.
He leaned into the promotion for Rampage. It came out a couple months ago, but not for this.
Yeah, I didn't really.
I've seen nothing about this.
Yeah.
That tells you, right? That's a great point, because he did Instagram stuff for Rampage, and he's Jumanji. Yeah. He's doing all this stuff.
Jumanji. Huge marketing push.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I should say this. We were going to do a Skyscraper spoiler, but then the scheduling to try to get Rick Myers, we're actually recording that via Skype. So we're not doing a Skyscraper spoiler, which I was so happy about. I texted Chris and I said, because when he sent me the schedule, look, we got to do the thing with Rick, because I'm busy down in San Diego doing this cool Live to Laugh thing, and Rick's schedule, because he's only in LA, so we're like trying to figure that out. I was like, so we're not doing a Skyscraper spoiler. Mm-hmm. He goes, no. I go, great, then I don't need to see it. And Chris texts back, I wasn't saying that. So,
by the way, what happens when we make this movie with Graham Elwood being the director of Live to Laugh? What happens if you don't like it? What kind of an episode will that be?
I'm going to just crucify the director.
Yeah.
Graham, you couldn't have Shoemaker lean into it.
Yeah.
I would have leaned into the,
into
the farce of it all.
This was supposed to be a diehard parody, Graham. What happened?
What were you doing? It's a laughter healing. There's no jokes in it. Yes. What were you doing?
Yeah. I'm still sick.
I'm looking forward to that review.
So maybe we'll save it for the Patreon subscribers.
Yeah, we were always planning on doing an earbuds spoiler.
Yeah, we were absolutely reviewing our own movie.
Yeah.
you never did?
No, we never did.
We always thought about doing it. Yeah. Where we just crucified our own film. I just said it was awful. The two guys producing it were morons.
Yeah, the schedule and the budget was ridiculous.
Yeah.
We had 100 producers.
I don't know what this comedy film nerds thing is. It sounds dumb.
So anyway, I would say go see Won't You Be My Neighbor, and Skyscraper is a plane movie at best.
At best. It sounds like something I would watch on a plane, like, while reading.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
definitely.
They give you too many choices on a plane these days. So that's a never see. Can you put that under that category?
Yeah. Nev Campbell is wasted and boring. You know, the kids are like...
Campbell's in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen her in years. Mm. I was in Scream 2 with her.
You won't see her again.
Big crush.
Yeah.
Big crush.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a feeling you're not going to see her in this movie.
Big smoker, though.
Really?
Yeah. kind of. I was imagining kissing her, and I went, I can deal with the ashtray breath. I'll be all right.
I love Neve Campbell, too.
I haven't seen her in... Yeah, how many years has it been?
It's been a while.
And she plays his wife or something?
She plays his wife, yeah.
The Rock's wife.
But again, it's like she's a prop. You know, she doesn't do anything. There's nothing...
She could be used really well in that type of a movie.
Yeah, yeah. And they try to, like, shoehorn her towards the end. When the police are doing nothing, and she's like, well, take me with you to this possible crime scene. And they look at her and do it. I'm like, really? Is that proper police procedure?
Yeah.
Is that what you would do?
It's a bad movie when Chris is getting into the proper police procedure.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually Googling it during the film.
That's the red flag with this movie.
Yeah, there's
and then...
Did they show any close-ups of her pouty lips, though? Does she still have pouty lips? I literally have not seen her in so many years.
She looks great. She looks like she hasn't aged a day.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, yeah. All right.
So... again, another wasted opportunity in this film. So, all right, we got a sponsor today, Brad. HelloFresh, one of our
just got
sponsors.
My HelloFresh meal sent to my house.
It's amazing. Now, you get the vegetarian
I get the vegetarian ones. I can cook them up in 30 minutes. They're fantastic.
Well, tell a person who's hearing it for the first time about HelloFresh.
You get three plans to choose from. You get classic, veggie, and family. They're made up of fresh, responsibly obtained ingredients. And from carefully selected farms and high-rated, trusted sources. And it makes cooking kind of fun. You know, you don't have to plan dinner, spending money on takeout, or worry about gathering ingredients. And, you know, it's like HelloFresh wants cooking to be simple and convenient, not a chore. So all the ingredients come pre-measured, because I'm not the best cook. And the fact that everything is pre-measured and I can, you know, just throw in it. Okay, well, I don't have to worry about it. This is how much I need.
I would screw it up so hard if it wasn't pre-measured. I can't do intricate cooking. I can't do it unless it's sent to me like this.
I do it by taste and feel.
And, you know, and
like comedy.
They get delivered right to your door for less than $10 a serving and free shipping.
Whoa, so, now you got me on my attention.
Yeah, and the account is easy to manage. You can choose your delivery date, and you can also pause deliveries when you're on vacation, which is great.
Anywhere? Like, you
know, this,
they deliver anywhere.
Anywhere in the country, yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You get a family plan? I know you got kids. You can do the whole
thing. The family plan is great. That's what we use.
I need the family plan.
Yeah, but it feeds four people.
Do they have, like, you can do... Our family, we all have different eating styles. That's a bummer. My wife is
styles
vegan.
Or preferences?
Preferences or...
Styles.
Well, yeah.
People eat standing up.
That's true.
Yeah, some people.
It's actually very
backwards.
True. We have one child. He eats like a quarter of the meal. He'll leave the table and come back a half an hour later. I mean, we have that. We have me who eats like there's a larger animal chasing me.
Yeah.
I'm shoveling it in. It doesn't even hit the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has a different style, but we also have different eating preferences.
Well, you could pick the meals. Like, you get like a choice of like a couple, and then you could pick the ones you want. Like, some of them are really good too, and they're easier to make. Like, one of my favorites was like a chicken pineapple quesadilla. It was really, really good. So
I hear something like that, and I'm going to go make it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Doesn't that sound great?
Yeah,
so
I'm hungry.
Really,
so
really
how do I get a hold of them?
So you got
Well,
you call the HelloFresh operator.
You go in the yellow pages. They're right next to typewriter.
I like phone calls. I'm sick of texting. You can't. There's no nuance. You can't get feedback right away. How do I find them?
You go to HelloFresh.com. You go to HelloFresh.com. Okay. Now, the vanity URL has changed. So it's HelloFresh.com/ComedyFilmNerds30. So it's HelloFresh.com/ComedyFilmNerds30. And then you can add the promo code ComedyFilmNerds30. And you get $30 off your first week. That's $30 off your first week.
You're not going to have to. Look at that. That's the kind of
we're saving you money.
That's what we do here, guys. Mm-hmm. Save you money by not going to bad movies.
One customer right here.
Boom.
Done.
Boom. And I got a big family.
And honestly,
so we're good.
It's really, really
They have vegan
good.
Options?
They have the vegetarian ones, too.
Not vegan.
I don't know if it's vegan.
They
have vegetarian.
Have all
they
my
have
wife is
a classic
is a part-time
veggie
vegan.
And family.
Yes.
So, veggie and family, okay.
Mm-hmm. But the choices are really good. Like, the veggie ones are good and the family ones are good. And then even, like, the classic, if you want to mix, those are good, too. So, all right. HelloFresh.com.
Let's do it.
Check it out. And remember, it's HelloFresh.com/ComedyFilmNerds30 and use the promo code ComedyFilmNerds30.
Save $30 off your first order, guys. We got some Patreon sponsors.
We do have some Patreon sponsors. Johnny Rulon's back again.
Johnny Rulon.
With his novel entitled Green Cheek, Junkie's Guide to Street Magic. It's on Amazon in both digital and hard copy. Copy, it's an experimental stream of consciousness novel which follows the exploits of the muse Calliope and her immortal lover T.S. on a journey through time, dreams, and the hidden places of a supernatural America. The website is happyhorrorshowproductions.com. That's happyhorrorshowproductions.com. And our favorite charity, this is the Audacity Performing Arts Project. It produces after-school programming arts projects in poor, underfunded, and the lowest performing schools. Performing arts education is not a luxury. Please help them out and visit them at cfn.audacityperformingarts.org. cfn.audacityperformingarts.org. Boom. We got some trailers,
Graham. Let's look at some trailers.
Yeah. How about Mary, Queen of Scots?
Mary, Queen of Scots. So now, I direct you...
to the Mary, Queen of Scots trailer?
To the big board.
Yes. I like the big board. Is that Lady Bird?
Not look so different from Scotland.
Yeah it is.
Saoirse Ronan.
Sisters.
In a time of
Queen Elizabeth. Your
I don't see
Mary
a dragon yet,
though. To take up her throne in Scotland.
The Queen!
My dear cousin Elizabeth, I hope we might meet in person, that I might embrace you. But ruling side by side, we must do so in harmony.
There always has to be a close-up of calligraphy somewhere in these movies.
My dear cousin, let our nations cherish each other as we would, two kingdoms united.
How did the world come to this?
Wise men servicing the whims of women.
Mary is our foe. We must never bow to her as we bow before you.
You have the boldness to doubt my judgment.
She is only your queen if I should not produce an heir.
What is it like to have a man?
With heaven's blessing, we bring an heir to Scotland and to England.
It is a clear...
That's going to be trouble.
We must make war in Scotland.
So put your skills to use.
Do not play into their hands. Our hatred is precisely what they hope for.
I know your heart has more within it than the men who counsel you.
You would do well to watch your words.
I will not be scolded by my inferior.
Your inferior.
Are you afraid, Henry?
So no. Lady Bird and Harley Quinn are going to fight?
Our swords are not just for show.
We have a scourge upon our land. Tis a woman with a crown.
Your beauty, your bravery. Now I see there is no cause for envy. Your gifts will be your downfall.
Should you murder me, remember you murder your sister.
Yeah, I don't think
and
that's going to bother
your queen.
There was your calligraphy shot, Chris.
Yeah, man, that's to match the font of the film. You know what? This movie, it really feels like one of those movies where Saoirse.
They shouldn't have made it?
They decided, like, you know, look, we need to be taken seriously as actresses. Get us a Meryl Streep vehicle and put us in it. And I'm going to wear a gown and let's get it done. But that trailer made me not want to see this movie at all.
There are elements that I want to see. The historical aspect of it,
sure.
Which I really do enjoy.
That's interesting.
I love it. Yeah, exactly.
Honestly,
but they take them, again, they're leaning too much into the take themselves seriously.
I feel like you could tell the that. Historical elements of this movie were the afterthoughts of this movie. like they're more interested in the gowns and the drama than
right.
the actual historical
I would,
facts.
Yeah, I would rather watch... I mean, I like both of those actresses a lot.
So do I.
I really mm-hmm. do. But this is, you're right. I think it just feels like, oh, we got to do a gown and accents movie.
Right.
Let's do a female Braveheart versus the Virgin Queen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. That was the pitch meeting.
By the way, her accent was off, I thought. That was not Scottish. That was more Irish.
Well, she is Irish. That's the problem. Saoirse Ronan is Irish. So
right, but
she's very Irish.
What I'm saying is.
I know. And that's why.
When you lean in as we're talking about today.
Yeah.
When you lean more towards Scottish?
Or hire a Scottish actress?
Or hire a Scottish coach.
Right.
A dialect coach.
Any of those would have been fine options.
I know.
But they went with this.
Yeah.
Maybe she didn't have enough time
yeah.
to
yeah.
prepare. They just
I
said, look, here, this part is yours because you're hot right now. We don't care if you do Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna be the queen.
So I don't,
come here, bitch.
I don't know what.
What's
happened
with the white face? What are you, Al Jolson?
Take the fucking wig off. I'm in town now.
All right, so let's get to the next trailer, Goosebumps 2.
Don't say that like you're excited.
Goosebumps 2. I never saw the first one.
Official. All right.
Goosebumps. Haunted Halloween.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure it's really haunted.
Goosebumps.
I hate the trailer before the trailer. It's so ridiculous.
How did I miss the first one?
Well, how old are your children?
All ages.
Really? Then I'm surprised you missed it.
Yeah, I know. This is going to go on my list if I like anything about it.
62. This one won't. Right now, they're just recapping the first movie.
All right. Okay.
That's all this is a recap of the first movie. That's never a good sign for a trailer.
Maybe it was so bad. Yeah. Maybe I did see it.
I don't think this place is giving out candy.
Oh, yeah, nothing evil will be in that creepy...
No. Suitcase.
So far, it's Jumanji with pages.
Did you miss me?
Nope.
Discovered a walking, talking dummy and you didn't tell me?
Okay, well, he seemed like a really nice guy at the start.
Haunted Halloween.
They're moving. So tiny and cute, what can they possibly do?
Oh, sorry.
No, there was more. There was a gummy bears joke.
Boy. Sonny, they're just gummy bears.
So... Okay, to put this in perspective, the first movie had Jack Black in it, and it was a really fun family film where it was funny. It had like a lot of fun improv in it, like they had a lot of comedic actors in it.
Okay.
And Jack
Black... I think I might have seen it.
Jack Black was...
There's a house again in that one.
Yeah.
It's the same house?
He's like a reclusive writer, and then he's trying to protect his stories from getting out.
I did see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's like some great jokes about like... he complains, like, as R.L. Stein, how he never got the fame he deserves. He's like, I sell more books than Stephen King. No one ever talked about that. Mm-hmm. So, but there was some fun, funny stuff in it. This trailer, no Jack Black, for one. And then the other thing that fascinated me was, like, the first movie made a lot of money. It did well. Like, this feels like a direct-to-DVD sequel.
Yeah.
Like, well, we're going to cut the budget in half, bring nobody back from the original. And just use the computer-generated art assets from the first one and just make them do different things.
And let's put a series of cliches and a fat guy.
Yeah.
We have our chunk of today.
So okay. I don't know where things went wrong, but that trailer was like, this is, no. Everything that was unexpectedly fun about the first movie, nowhere near this
one. I feel like
one.
Somebody just... went through a bunch of horror movies and cut together a trailer. They just took clips from existing films and cut together a thing.
Yeah, I really feel like, too, it's like some eccentric millionaire got the film rights after the first movie and just is like, I'm just going to make my own movie now with the Goosebumps rights.
Are you guys over special effects? I just think we've gone to the point of no return where it's ridiculous because it takes me out of the realm of reality.
It's like it's the same with any type of art form where you can do anything you want now. Okay, well, if you can do anything you want, the art is to make it look interesting and different and dynamic. And one of the ways you do that is like you see some of the Marvel movies, like, you know, when Doctor Strange goes into a different universe and you see like, you know, we've all seen...
When they went in the quantum realm and
Ant-Man.
And
Ant-Man.
And
like,
Wasp.
Like when you can do anything it is now more dependent upon the artist to show you something interesting.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and when they just do it just to do it, that's when I'm like,
right, that's when it's boring.
They're just like, oh, we got to have some crazy effects in here. It's like, right. Well, does it fit the story? Is it interesting? Are you using the technology to motivate, to move the story along or show us something new? Then no.
It's just, it's the reality of it. Like one of my favorite films is Raging Bull, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. These are actual blows to the head that he's taking. And you know, the scene where he's beating the bricks and you're just, it's so intense. But now it's like he would be, you know, obviously blown up and then he would come back. Oh, everything's okay. It just doesn't make any sense to me. No one could survive any of these things that happened to them.
No.
No one could survive any of these hits or explosions, and they come out without a scar.
Well, the interesting thing, too, is even when you get back to genre films that were made years ago, like movies like Alien and Terminator, you know, you have some computer effects in them, but a lot of those effects were practical. You know, Stan Winston was building these creatures in his creature shop.
Right.
So, you know, you have these movies, these older horror and genre films have a different feel to them than the way these do. Like, you know, we go back to Ant-Man again, the way the technology was used in an interesting way was the way they played around with the sizes, where he's you know, kid size. Right. Then he's, you know, he's on top of a truck, you know, zooming down San Francisco. Like those are the ways you use the technology in an interesting way. Because, like we're saying, you can do whatever you want. You can make as many dinosaurs as you want, like the last Jurassic Park movie. You can make as many dinosaurs as you want. You can make as many different types of dinosaurs as you want. What determines how interesting the effects are is what you do with them. Like, okay, yeah, you made another raptor, an Indoraptor. Great. Fantastic. And you... and you saved the giant sea monster for 4 seconds of footage.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's the believability. There's just no more believability in any of these things. I think we're going too far technologically anyway. Even my car, I didn't have a problem putting a key in.
No, now you have to push a button.
I didn't have a problem. Yeah. I wasn't getting carpal tunnel syndrome from that right-hand turn. I wasn't writing letters to something needs to be done about this. I didn't need a backup camera.
And my fingers hurt.
My son was in our car. You know, it's 5 years old. He's there. Where's the backup camera? I'm like, turn around.
Yeah.
Oh, a window. You know, I mean, it just doesn't.
Yeah.
It's just.
What is this car? 100 years old?
I know. I think it's 5 years. Yeah. Old. Oh, I can't drive this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now they have cars that drive.
I need
themselves.
A horse to pull it.
We're just going. We're going too far.
Right.
Yeah,
that's what I think. And movies are this, it reflects that.
Goosebumps 2 has gone too far.
Yeah, for sure.
Too far.
That's a great example of what not to do with the technology.
Yeah.
Because you've eliminated every possible human element out of that movie that the first one had.
Right. I was saying for years ago, I mean, Hollywood was drunk on the technology and they just abandoned storytelling and character and everything else.
That's my point.
So.
And even, by the way, historical dramas are ridiculous. They'll have things that are completely anachronistic. I mean, there's no way that could happen. That's what I hate about, like, Sherlock Holmes. The original Sherlock Holmes is a great story.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all abandoned because they have explosions that never would have happened
back then. Yes, yes.
They didn't have bombs like that. They had a Molotov cocktail at the most.
At the most.
Wow. Right.
And a musket.
I don't know anybody that can defend the Robert Downey Jr. movies.
They're hard.
Or the Sherlock Holmes.
Those are hard to defend.
Yeah, that'd be tough. Okay, so on DVD and Blu-ray, you know, getting more rockin' here.
Rocking.
Rampage. Now, Rampage is, this is where things were done properly. It's a big, dumb movie based on a coin-operated video game where The Rock fights monsters. It's goofy, it's stupid, and
it's a fun summer. Yeah.
The Rock cracks wise, it doesn't take itself too seriously, and it's just fun. So it's a popcorn movie.
So get the VOD of this versus going to see Skyscraper.
Yes, exactly. For sure. And you'll get to see the Rampage monsters actually destroy Skyscraper, so it's even better. The next movie is I Feel Pretty. This was the Amy Schumer movie that came out a little while back. This, you know, a lot of people were disappointed in this movie.
Yeah. I didn't get a chance to see it, but we had some comics on that were a little disappointed in the message that it was trying to make, but never
got to the finish line.
Didn't do it all the way.
Yeah. The next movie is Isle of Dogs. I love this movie. This was the Wes Anderson stop-motion animation movie. Really, really good. I'll tell you, you know, Wes Anderson, I probably like 80% of his movies. There's a couple that just didn't resonate with me, but both his animated ones, this one and Fantastic Mr. Fox, he's one of those filmmakers that can make that transition where you can make like a quirky adult drama and then a stop motion family picture and make them both entertaining and engaging. Like, you know, I really feel like this was almost an animated Moonrise Kingdom with dogs.
Oh, like, wow. Really, what a great... Yeah, Moonrise Kingdom, I really like that.
It really had an interesting feel to it. But also, it was also a love letter to Japan, too, because there was a lot of Japanese culture in it. So it's definitely worth a view.
But they didn't use anime.
No, it's all stop motion. So they built all the
But that even that style wasn't a part of the stop motion.
No, it wasn't.
The look,
So it was really interesting. It's thinking just to see stop motion.
Can I see it with the kids? Wrestlers.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Well, good.
Mm-hmm. Truth or Dare, again, a Blumhouse horror movie that may as well just say that you're probably not going to see it. Yeah.
Yeah, they just make these for low budget. They know they're just for that section.
They crank them out every couple months.
Because these horror, the people that are just diehard horror fans will just go see anything. And all right, fine.
Good. It's that formula. It works. We're going to keep the budget low. We're putting no stars in it. We're going to put a bunch of violence and gore, and it's going to make money. Yep. And they're proven right every single time.
Why make movies? And that's actually at the top of our list. That's the highest ROI, return on investment, horror films.
Is it?
Absolutely. Okay. It's ranked number one, and it's a slam dunk, and you can make them all under $1 million.
Right.
Because if you're not making a studio picture, it's very hard to make money.
Yes.
So you have to keep your budget low, so you keep the stars out of it, but people are there for the genre.
Craig, I don't think Graham and I know anything about what you're talking about.
No, you're absolutely... I mean, it's the thing...
Maybe I should come here to educate you. The last 5 minutes of every podcast, I will inform you of something you don't know.
We also learned, too, documentaries may not make a ton of money either.
Yeah. No, but the horror film thing...
Because with earbuds, too, like we're still...
By the way, why are people not watching documentaries? To me, that's number one, but I guess that's me personally.
You know what it is?
I love documentaries.
You know what it is with
documentaries? They watch them on the streaming
services. They watch them on streaming.
And you don't make money on those.
They don't go out theatrically and go see them.
Rarely.
Even the Mr. Rogers, which is popular, it's still, there are only 75 people in the theater I was in.
And that is the 1% of documentaries.
1% is absolutely
like
right.
Like the Mr. Rogers doc has a bunch of money behind it. They are making an Oscar push.
Yeah.
That's why it's even, because our distributor said, guys, it'll cost you too much money to get this in theatrically. It'll cost us.
That's absolutely true.
So it's like, and everybody likes what, and the thing, because docs are cheap and easy, you can't get them theatrically. It's harder to get them theatrically. So the streaming services are always needing content.
Yeah.
So that's why there's so many docs, and that's why so many people are just like at home thumbing through their streaming services, and they go, "Oh, this doc looks interesting. I'll watch that."
That's what I watch on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Netflix.
I binge too. Wild Wild Country. I was literally in the room in a hotel room, peeing in mason jars. It was that thing. I would not get out of bed. You started your own crazy cult. My own cult was created from their cult.
Yeah. Amazon Prime is the other place you're going to see a lot of documentaries too.
Is that right?
Like earbuds.
Yes.
So,
is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's available.
I got a free copy.
And definitely, if you have Amazon Prime, please watch it on. Please watch earbuds on there. I think we get a couple pennies every time it streams.
Yeah, I gave Craig a free DVD when we did a show a little over a year ago, and that's how I got the gig directing his doc. So
there you go.
That
so he's getting paid back.
Yeah.
By the way, after the show, Chris is going to ask you for a little cut.
Yeah.
Which we now know will get no cut because it's a documentary.
Yeah.
No money anyway. Yeah. So he's just moving from one failure to the next.
So what you're saying is we can have as much back end as we want?
Yeah.
Sure.
Exactly.
Yes. I'll write your back end down on a napkin.
Yeah. It's like tech stock options.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
That's exactly right.
So
we'll have fun doing it though, and it's something that needs to be done.
The thing about documentaries, it's like teaching. It's one of the rewards are not in the financial gains.
I thought you were going to say you become an alcoholic.
Yeah. So it's really, these are stories that need to be told, and the only way they're going to get their stories out there is through documentary filmmaking. Yeah. It's an important genre, regardless of how much money it makes.
It's the most important genre. I'll tell you why. Everything else is corporately sponsored.
Right.
People always say liberal media. I go, no, it's not.
It's corporate.
They're not representing. I would like them to go investigate Monsanto. The one that time they did that with Fox News, they fired the reporters.
Oh, yeah.
You can't bite the hand that feeds you. So you cannot see what the news is. It's only their perspective on what they choose you to see. Every single bit of it
they're
is
not,
corporately
why aren't
sponsored.
They investigating Flint, Michigan? There's been undrinkable water there for 4 years.
That should be every day. They every should day. Cover it until they have clean water.
Yep.
And they should cover all of the people and reparations and everything else. It's been dropped because it's not shiny object today. And that's why I watch documentaries like Gasland, and you find out what's really at play here.
Yeah, and it's
and
really
what's at stake.
Yeah, I mean, documentaries is a window into things that are not being reported on and not mm-hmm. being put into the public consciousness. The problem is, and I'm hoping that this kind of changes with all the streaming services giving documentaries a leg up. The documentary films will never have the marketing budget. No. That the other films have.
Of course not.
But even when they start to kind of get rolling, even then, you know, not a lot of marketing money goes into them. So they're all like almost like grassroots projects from start to finish, where it's
them,
like
yeah.
it's, you know, you have the concept, you have the production, even if it's kickstarted, you know, then the marketing is the same way. You got to just go out and literally bang on doors and pound pavements and go on podcasts and get the word out there on your own. So even if a studio picks it up, are they going to, you know, if Disney picks it up, are they going to promote Infinity War, or are they going to promote a documentary? You know, even if it's 100 million here and 1 million there, it won't. It'll be 101 million here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they won't peel that money off. So, and the next
there is
movie,
also the aspect that they don't want you to see it. They don't want, yeah. it's the, mm-hmm. you know, they don't want you to.
Too informed.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be exposed for. The sham and scam that's going on.
So also on DVD and Blu-ray is Super Troopers 2. I did see this movie, and it's the kind of movie where you like the first one, you're going to like the second one.
Right.
If you didn't like the first one, not going to change your mind.
They didn't make it for you.
No, exactly.
If you didn't like the first or see the first one, they didn't make this movie for you.
Yeah, no. This is a very specific niche content, niche audience, but for what it is, it works.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're fans of these guys, you're going to enjoy the movie. If you're not, again, not going to change your mind.
I'm sure you've had this discussion on here many times. What sequel has for you surpassed the first? Anything?
You know,
you haven't had this discussion?
Oh, a bunch.
Yeah,
a bunch of different times.
In Cameron's heyday, I would say, like, you know,
Terminator 2.
Aliens,
for sure.
Aliens
2.
You know, Empire Strikes Back is always a classic go-to. But
Godfather 2.
Yep, Godfather 2 is another good, mm-hmm. another good one.
Another good sequel.
Actually, these are all the ones that are mentioned in the scene that I do in the Scream 2. I play the professor. These are the exact ones.
Oh, really?
We did that was a sequel, Scream 2. So mm-hmm. we had a sequel about a sequel. Anyway, so
nice.
That was the discussion.
Yeah, Jamie Kennedy's in that scene.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. He is. Mm-hmm. You're right. He was so nice to me. He introduced me to Wes Craven.
Oh, nice.
And mm-hmm. said, you know, basically, do you know who this is? You know, because they thought they were hiring an actor. And Jamie was basically, no, he's the Love Master. He's a comedian. And anyway, I lived in the movie, and Wes told me, that's a good thing. You'll be in the next one. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't. But anyway.
Yeah.
I wasn't in that sequel.
So
coming
check
out
it
this
out.
Week.
All right. And, you know, like we said, we talked about we will be at Comic-Con this week. You can check out the panel. We'll also be walking around the floor if you see us.
On Thursday,
say hi.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. It's as huge as Comic-Con is. Oh, that's right. Yeah, you'll be shooting. I'll be walking the floor. As huge as Comic-Con is, always run into people.
Always.
Yeah. It's either fans, friends, you know, other comedians.
The most random and the most
yeah.
crowded area. It's
yeah.
like when you run into somebody in Manhattan and you're like,
right.
how did this happen?
What
are the
odds? Yeah. There's 100,000 people here. How did I run into you?
Yeah.
And every time. So it's always fun just to walk the floor and like mm-hmm. run into people. Premiering this week, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. The subtitle may as well just be, this movie's not for you.
Yeah. What we were just saying about Super Troopers 2.
Yeah.
If you love
yeah.
Mamma Mia, mm-hmm. you're going to go see this one.
Yes.
That's
mm-hmm.
it.
Do they do new songs? Or
well,
I mean, ABBA only had a certain...
ABBA's got to be out of songs
you've
by now.
You've got a limit.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless
I mean,
it's ABBA covering Kenny Loggins.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
It has to be at this
well,
point...
Well, see, now that I'd see. Now
yeah.
that's a scene.
Yeah. We're probably through the library by now. Yeah. And The Equalizer 2.
This is the most counter-programming thing I've ever seen in my life. Denzel Washington, The Equalizer sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about two movies that, like, if you like the first one,
yeah.
you're going to... I remember when I saw the first Equalizer and I talked about it on the show, and the way they ended it, I go, they're ending this to make this a
franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And here he is again.
Yeah.
Someone's done something wrong. Denzel's going to set him straight.
Yeah. And
he's still looking to equalize things.
Yeah. And he's going to equalize the shit out of it. You know, and there are some ABBA songs.
Getting back to our getting back to our previous discussion, movies, sequels that surpass the original, not betting on these two. So I don't know. There's other movies in the theater for you to check out.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of good stuff to see, and we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it in a future episode because we kind of ran out of time, but I saw this Pirates of Somali movie on a streaming service. We'll talk about that. But go see Won't You Be My Neighbor.
Yes.
It's really worth, and it's worth seeing on the big screen if you can, just because you're supporting a documentary, and it's not like it's some visual, but it is cool to see black and white TV and then intercut with news footage of what was actually going on and how he did it. So it is worth watching on the big screen. Check it out.
And experiencing it with other people, a community. Mm-hmm. That's what he wanted to form as a community.
Right.
And that's what you're doing when you're watching the film. You're in this together. I saw a lot of people pulling out their hankies or...
Oh, sure.
People don't have hankies anymore, but a tissue or napkin. I cried.
A neckerchief.
A neckerchief. An ascot.
An ascot. Yes. Everyone's wearing their ascots.
Paul Lynn used to wear an ascot. I wrote him letters to fix him up with my mother. Paul Lynn.
Did that work out?
Did they ever respond?
No. I said you should... I read an article that you're a confirmed bachelor. Look at my mom's photo. Perhaps you will unconfirm. Yes. And I said, how do you get in those stairs? Does Tody Fields really have a wooden leg? I asked them all the questions as a curious boy would want to know.
And do you want to perform at Ambler?
I thought he was going to be my stepfather.
Yeah.
I thought we'd be the first father and son team on Hollywood Squares.
That's fantastic.
That was my dream. I'd like Craig and Paul Lynn for the win, please. Take it, Craig. It's a sports question. I had this imagination of even athletes. Remember Tim McCarver? He played for the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
He was a catcher for the Phillies. I wrote him a letter, and I got it through to him, I thought. And you should meet my mother. Here's her picture in a belly dancing outfit. And she was also known as Scheherazade in our neighborhood. So he never wrote me back. And I told Joe Buck the story. Joe Buck's Tim's old friend. Next time I saw Joe Buck, he hands me a ball. And it's signed by Tim McCarver. And it says, "Dear son, time to grow up." and it says, "Love, Dad."
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's my best memento.
Well, that's our show.
Personalized.
Try to help out setting up Craig's mom.
Yeah.
If you can.
She's finally married now.
Okay,
to Sydney Zamuchnik. So
okay,
it's a whole other, she found her Paul Lynn.
Good. She found her Paul Lynn.
she found her center square.
Yeah, I was just going to make that joke.
I wish I had.
We all saw that joke. It was a dead sprint for that joke.
I'm slow in my old age. I couldn't catch you guys.
Oh. Well, thanks for being on the show, Craig.
Sure. Thanks for having me on again. I'd love to
talk
about myself some more.
Well, we'll bring you back on. No, when as we really get into the thick of shooting and post-production for Live to Laugh, we'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. So where can people find you online in the upcoming
shows? CraigShoemaker.com. No umlaut. Craig Shoemaker or The Love Master on Twitter. I would love some more Instagram followers. Do you have any of those?
Yeah.
Jump on. My son busts my balls. He goes, "That's because you tweet like a mom. Nobody follows you." He goes, "No one wants to see your kid pictures." So anyway,
you tweet like a mom.
That's what he says to me. It's horrible. So Craig Shoe on Instagram, take off the maker. And then, I'm performing everywhere. I'm at the Ice House in a couple weeks, or next week, is it? Yeah, next week at the Ice House. And then Borgata in Atlantic City.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
That's a big one. That's a big theater. I love it there. And in Caroline's in New York City, August 3rd is Borgata, and August 8th, 7th, something like that. It's a Wednesday night. It is Caroline's. It's hard to think that far in advance.
You know, guys, support these comics. And when you go see them on the road, and if Craig is a pro. He's been doing this a long time. He was on the FNX show. It's go up and say, "Hey, I heard you on Comedy Film Nerds."
That would be great. Then I would know it was worth the drive of 40 minutes. That's how you always know. If they come up, if one person comes up, there's my gas money.
All right. I just
need one person to go. And you know what? And I do an old school show. It's 90 minutes long. I tell stories and really make you laugh, because I really do believe that we need to laugh more in this country. Don't just go, tweet a joke here and there. We need the community come together and just shift the consciousness. I do. I even if you don't see me, just see veteran comics.
Yeah.
Not veterans like Army or Navy. But, no, but you know, people would add it for a while because we know the skill. We've got the skill.
It's a craft.
And it's a craft.
What I always say is when you see a veteran comic, you're seeing the craft of stand-up comedy.
Not a YouTube star.
No,
see, someone who's actually been performing for a while.
Yeah, and the joke writing and the stage presence and the construction of a whole set.
Exactly.
That there's a whole like three act structure.
It's like seeing a play.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and a lot of people are just going to see, you know, they think it's King and I, just the dance number. I mean, it's just, you know, that's all they're seeing when they see the YouTube star or whatever. And not to knock them, but you know, put your time in and really develop something that people can pay to see.
Mm-hmm.
That honors their presence, you know, and giving them something different.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being on the show. Go to craigshoemaker.com, guys. We'll be updating as we shoot in the next year of Live to Laugh. So we're starting that journey. And I've got, like we said, Chris and I will be at Comic-Con at the Rick Myers panel Thursday night. Also, I'll be in Seattle August 9th doing Political Vigilante Live and then doing stand-up comedy August 11th. August 10th, I'm going to Pearl Jam with Mike Schmidt. So check out those tour dates. And as I said, the links will be up, but it'll be August 25th. We'll be doing a Comedy Film Nerds Trailer Park Show. It's the show we always did at PodFest. We're just going to have some comics making fun of trailers. And that'll be at Dynasty Typewriter, this awesome theater that Jamie Flam took over.
Move to a prime spot on Saturday night,
and that link will go up soon. So that's another great live show to come show up. So awesome. if you're in LA.
And I have one announcement. I'm very happy. I've been trying to make this announcement for 18 months now. The graphic novel is done.
No!
Yeah, Long Ago and Far Away is done. The digital rewards have gone out. So check your inbox if you were a Kickstarter backer. It is at the printers right now for physical rewards. It'll be about 6 weeks to get them printed and shipped to me, and then they will go out as well. And we also have all the rewards, like the custom artwork and the sketches. They're all ready to go. So I want to thank you guys all for your support and patience. It is done. And then when I have the books, they will also be for sale at comedyfilmnerds.com.
So, awesome.
Long journey.
Journey.
It is done.
The long ago and far away journey is done. You're going to get
congratulations.
Thank you.
It's the biggest accomplishment, man.
Mm-hmm. It sure is.
Ended up being like 196 pages. So it's a giant graphic novel.
I'm so fired up, man. Like we do a lot of things on this show and they always take longer than we say they're going to get done, but we get them done.
We get them done eventually.
And it's largely because you guys listening support it.
Yes.
Which is awesome. So thank you, Craig Shoemaker, for being on the show. Thank you, Aaron Brungard, on the ones and twos at the All Things Comedy World Headquarters. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember, Han shot first.